my goodness.
Hey, by goodness, that's right. News Radio 840 WHAS. Dave Jennings, Dwight Whitten, Will Clark on the news. As we're rolling through on your Thursday, waiting for Glenn Hughes. He'll be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. Nicknamed the Voice of Rock, former frontman for the Deep Purple and now frontman for the Dead Daisies. I was doing the research yesterday on Glenn, and I found it's like a short 5-minute film. It's called The Dead Daisies, Like No Other, a short film.
What is it?
It talks about them wanting to get back out on the road and them getting back out on the road. Because they were just here they're kicking off a new tour, but they just did warm-ups. They did some cities like Louisville. They were just here in July. Mm-hmm. So I watched the thing, and for whatever reason, I just kept watching the credits. And at the end of the credits, I see videography by Jason and Wendy Schwartz. And I'm actually friends with them.
Huh.
I sent him a message. I said, hey, Jason, I just watched a promotional video for the Dead Daisies. Did you and Wendy do this? He said, yeah, absolutely. So
Louisville is a small town in so many ways, isn't it?
How about that, man? How about that? So we're waiting to hear from him. While we're waiting on Glenn Hughes, I want to say, please consider joining us on October 1st. I'm talking about the second annual WHAS Golf Scramble. Last year, we just had one hell of a time. I'm telling you, I was grinning all the way through February, I think, because so much fun that we had. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's so much fun. And the best part about this is it's not on a Monday. It's on
a Friday.
There you go, baby. So you don't have to worry about I'm going to work tomorrow and all of that.
So you take Friday off and then enjoy Baby Friday on Thursday, knowing that you're going to wake up and do it all again and enjoy your time on the golf course on a Friday.
That's right. Okay, so I'm always talking. For some reason, I got fascinated over COVID-19.
By the way, just to tease this quickly, I had a call on the hotline during the news break.
Yeah.
And it was Courtney Donahoe.
Oh.
Our Bloomberg reporter from New York who was flooded out after Hurricane Ida. And she's having electrical problems, trying to dig out of that. On a generator, she wants to call and tell us how she's doing. So maybe sometime after 10:30,
okay,
we're going to hook up with Courtney and see how she's doing.
Okay, we've got Eric Roberts.
Get the broom. Get the broom.
We have Eric Johnson with Supporting Heroes at the bottom of the hour, and also Courtney Donahoe after that, and of course news. And we're waiting on Glenn Hughes, former frontman for Deep Purple. But I got fascinated with these card collectors and how much they were paying for
I know
them.
You've been into that stuff.
And it's weird because I'm not a card collector, nothing like that. But I just find it interesting how much money's being blown on these baseball, basketball.
A little piece of cardboard.
Yeah, a little itty-bitty piece of cardboard.
In plexiglass.
Good news for me, though, not because I'm a collector, but I'm a pack rat. It's hard for me to give things away, but trading cards are not the only things that people are starting to sell and get big money for. If you're one like me and you held on to those old VHS cassettes.
Oh, no.
There's now a market for them.
I donated all of mine several years ago.
Did you really?
I had a couple hundred of them.
Well, there's a company that grades old video cassettes, sells them on eBay, and the market's starting to increase. And if they're sealed, but who does this? Who buys I do it with Maiden albums. I'll buy my Iron Maiden albums, and I will not unwrap
them. Don't listen
to
it. Well, don't even look at it.
Well, no, I would buy an album, and then I would buy a CD. The CD I could listen to, the album was to collect. But who would do that with VHS cassettes? They were around $100 a month ago. Now they're already up to around $1,000 for a video cassette. And they're asking, you know, why would it be $1,000 for an old video cassette? Number one is because it's, I guess you would call it, for lack of a better term, an antique, but you could also view it as a small little compact movie poster. So, listen to that, man. This is just good stuff. Came out last year. I'm talking about the Dead Daisies. Just listen to this hook for it. Oh, that voice. That's what I'm talking about. Just good stuff right there. Let's bring him in. Glenn Hughes. They call him the Voice of Rock. Former frontman with Deep Purple and now Dead Daisies. Hey, Glenn, how are you, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we today?
Awesome.
Hey, we're doing fantastic. Dead Daisies, you all were just here back in July, and you know what, Glenn? I'm ready for you to come back again, brother.
Oh, we love that. I love the river. We spent 2 or 3 days there. What a wonderful place. Thank you so much for your love.
Listen, I want to talk Dead Daisies. I want so much to talk to you about, but you guys are going back out on the road. What does this do for you mentally? Because you've been cooped up. You can't do what you love. You can't do what you're great at. And now you're finally getting unleashed. What's that do for you mentally, man?
Well, we had those 9 shows when you saw us in June, July, and they were great. And now we're gearing up for bigger shows and what have you. And we're in New York right now preparing to leave. And we are so excited to get out there in front of our fans and do what we do.
Dead Daisies going back out on the road talking with Glenn Hughes. And listen, that, I'm going to say, new album, it came out in 2020. It's just fantastic, man. How much work went into that record?
Well, a lot. This is pre-pandemic. We were in the south of France in a chateau making the album in November, December of 2019. Prior to the pandemic hitting, and when the album was supposed to come out in May of 2020, and that obviously couldn't happen because no one could get it. So we didn't bring it, but the album came out in January of this year.
I want to go back. I want to talk more Dead Daisies. I want to go back to Deep Purple because there was a breakup in the mid-70s. And, you know, you hear about Deep Purple breaking up, and, boy, imagine being the front man for Deep Purple. But you hear about that even brought David Coverdale to tears. And I once saw an interview, and you said that actually sex, drugs, and rock and roll is actually what broke up Deep Purple. What happened with Deep Purple, man?
Well, without going into too much detail, it was a difficult time. I don't know how old you guys are, but the 70s were all about let's do more of this and more of that. Whether it's women, you know, drink, drugs, or what have you, sexual addictions or whatever. It was just over-the-top stuff, you know. But you mix all that stuff together, it can become wicked. So it was the downfall. It was the downfall of many, many bands.
So you're a bass player. You're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because you were in Deep Purple. But in 1973, you were asked to take over for Roger Glover on bass, and you're thinking, I like the bass guitar, man, but I'm a lead singer. Go through the mind. Go through the mindset of joining a band as a bass player when you want to sing.
Yeah, well, I met with them in New York, sitting in a hotel over the road from where I met them. I'm looking at them right now. They asked me to come and meet with them, and I'm thinking they're going to ask me to be, you know, the singer. And they said, no, we want Paul Rodgers to sing, and we want you to play bass and sing, help Paul Rodgers sing. I'm going, okay, well, that sounds interesting. So that didn't work out because Paul was forming a band called Bad Company. But for me not to be a singer in Deep Purple was weird because I was a lead singer before Deep Purple. But then we got David Coverdale to come in, who was an unknown at the time. And David, as you know, David and I shared the vocals on the album called Burn.
Hey, Glenn, I want to get back to the Dead Daisies because your voice is absolutely flawless, and it's not just on the record. You were just here in Louisville back in July, and your vocals are absolutely flawless. What do you do to take care of them to sound so good, man, because it's just unreal?
A lot of sleep, a lot of water, and a lot of warm-ups. Like an athlete would warm their body up. Mm-hmm. Before they do a trial, I do that during the day of the show. I'm warming the voice up around noon throughout this day, warming it up and to get ready for the evening event. That's what I do. I've got a 4 or 5 octave range, so I got to take care of my voice.
So in the 80s, you were a really busy guy with Phenomena. You did a bunch of stuff, Gary Moore. And then Black Sabbath comes along, but it was actually Tony Iommi's solo album, and then somehow it became a Black Sabbath album. How did that come about?
Well, Tony, I've known Tony since the late 60s, so we grew up together in the Midlands in Britain. He called me to see if I'd like to work on a solo album with him, and of course I would, you know. So, and when we Ronnie Dio was supposed to sing on a couple of songs with Rob Halford. That didn't work out. For some reason, I don't know why. I sang the whole album, and then when the album was done, Warner Brothers decided they were going to call it a Black Sabbath album, which was upsetting for Tony because it was basically Tony's solo album, but it was great to play with my dear friend Tony.
Here's a little bit of that to show you how good this voice has held up over these years. This is Seventh Star, the Tony Iommi solo album, actually called Black Sabbath featuring Tony Iommi.
Man, those pipes are absolutely amazing. Glenn, here's one last question, and we got to let you go so we can get to a break. But I want to talk about this Dead Daisies tour. If you get a chance, go out and see this tour because it's absolutely amazing. But you actually have Don Jameson open it up, comedian Don Jameson from That Metal Show. Is it a tough job doing stand-up in front of a rock crowd?
Well, not to Don, because I think he does like a rock and roll comedy show. So, you know, Don's a little, it's not just a stand-up for Don, it's a rock and roll thing for him. So it's normal for him to do this. Don opens for a lot of, you know, rock bands. So it's normal for Don. It's not normal for us, because, I mean, I've never had a comedian open a show for me. So, but Don is one of my closest friends, so it's going to be great.
Awesome. Listen, we hope you make your way back around here to Louisville. We absolutely loved you here in July. Glenn Hughes, thanks so much. And thanks so much for the great new music with the Dead Daisies, my friend, okay?
Thank you. Let me just say this to people in Kentucky. I love you so much. You were so great to us in July. And I look forward to seeing you again. Peace and love, everybody. I love you all. Thank you. And Dwight and Dave, thank you kindly.
You are so welcome.
No, listen, we got a hold of this record. We found out you were touring again. We threw the invitation out there. We couldn't believe you would come back on the show, but thank you so much, Glenn. You're a class act and great record, man. Take care, okay, Glenn?
Thank you, fellas. Good morning, Kibo.
What a great guy, man. I got to tell you, if you get a chance to see this Dead Daisies tour, go to their site, check it out, because the show here in Louisville, it was just a warm-up. I think they did here. They did Columbus. They did Nashville. Just a handful of shows. Just kind of warm them up, get ready for the road. But, wow, what a show and what a record.
Listen to this voice. This is a 70-year-old man.
I know it.
His voice sounds like a guitar here.
And by the way, he doesn't look 70 either.
No. And there are guys, go back to like Steve Walsh from Kansas, who was a great soaring rock vocalist, completely lost his voice. And then guys like this, 70 years old, haven't aged a day.
You know, there's an interview where Mick Jagger in the early years, where they asked him, at the time he was 24 years old, and they said, how many more years do you have in the Stones? He said, you know, I think that we could make it maybe one or two more years. That would have put him out at 25.
Wasn't it at one point he said he'd rather be dead than singing Satisfaction at 40?
I remember some kind of a quote like that. But if you remember back in the Steel Wheels tour.
How many millions to keep doing it? All right, then.
I don't think they need the money.
No.
But if you remember in 1989 when Steel Wheels came out, Rolling Stone, all these places, they had the Rolling Stones on walkers and all these cartoons.
Right,
and,
right.
And, you know, are they going to have oxygen and all this baloney? They were in their 40s. Mid-40s.
Mick Jagger is still an active front man, one of the best in the business at 70-something.
Absolutely. So thank you to Glenn Hughes. Stick around. We're going to find out what our money's doing in just a little bit. Take a break right now. It's News Radio 840 WHAS.
WHAS.
It is News Radio 840 WHAS. I'm Dwight Whitten. That's Dave Jennings. Thanks for coming along on this absolutely beautiful Thursday. This Saturday is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and we as a nation, for the most part, supported our first responders back then after what we witnessed. And I get confused every single day when I see the way the media portrays law enforcement, paints them at most media, paints them as the bad guy. We even have elected officials, even like our mayor here locally, he seems to have disdain towards law enforcement, but yet you see him surrounded by law enforcement, protecting him everywhere he goes. So my prayer for this Saturday, September 11th, the 20th anniversary, is that somehow that love and the respect that we had back then for our first responders gets revitalized somehow and back to where it was and where it should be, in my opinion. In the spirit of that, I want to bring in my next guest. His name's Eric Johnson. He has a wonderful organization called Supporting Heroes. I've been a part of that for years and have supported them for years. I want to challenge you to find out more about that if you don't know about Supporting Heroes. But I want to bring him in right now. Eric Johnson, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dwight. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for coming on, especially this week. I find it important to bring you all on, the men and women of Supporting Heroes. They have my heart, just like first responders do. But talk about what Supporting Heroes does first, and I want to talk about Operation Enduring Honor.
Okay, well, our mission is to honor those who give their lives in the line of duty. By taking care of the people they loved. You know, we build memorials and have memorial services and those types of honors. But the most important thing we can do to honor those people is to look after the folks that they cared for and that they're no longer around to care for. So that's our mission in a nutshell.
And I want to tell you that I've witnessed this firsthand, and it's not just here locally. It's in several states. And Eric does work tirelessly. So does the men and women of Supporting Heroes, and they are lightning fast. When we lose a first responder, they're on the scene with the family almost immediately, as quick as time will allow. I want to talk about Operation Enduring Freedom. Talk about this, and how can we help, Eric?
Well, actually, it's Operation Enduring Honor.
Enduring Honor. I'm sorry, I went back to the Bush years.
No, I understand. I got it. The purpose of Operation Enduring Honor is to show the families, first off, that one of their biggest concerns when a death happens, the first concern is survival. How am I going to feed the kids? How am I going to keep our home? And that's what one of our primary missions is to take care of that, to financially support them, to take that financial stress away. But once we get past that, then their big concern is that their hero, their loved one, will be forgotten. And so we call this Operation Enduring Honor because we want them to know that honor for their hero didn't end at graveside when that person was laid to rest. We want to take them to the National Memorial Service when he or she is honored. We want to make sure they attend. Unfortunately, a lot of people nationwide miss the National Memorial Service because they can't afford to be there. So we fund their travel. We go with them. We take care of them while they're there. Try to treat them like royalty. We want them to be able to see and touch their hero's name on the National Memorial so that they know that it's there into perpetuity. Want to be present when the nation honors their hero. And when they leave, to know that that honor, that their hero's name is going to be on that wall for, you know, as long as it stands. And we think that's very, very important. So, unfortunately, the memorial services were canceled last year, so this year we're funding travel for families from 2019 and 2020. And, of course, we had a record number of deaths in 2020. And so we're looking at a very just overwhelming need as we get ready to take the families to the National Memorial Services in October.
And I absolutely agree with you. It's extremely important to get the families of these fallen first responders up to see this memorial. And with that comes a financial, boy, I've got to think it's just a huge financial load that we're looking at just along with this, not to mention what you do for families and first responders when they pass. How can people contribute to Operation Enduring Honor and also Supporting Heroes? And if you don't know, I want to challenge you again to Google Supporting Heroes and read the mission statement and find out more. How can people contribute?
Well, they can go to enduringhonor.org. We know we're going to spend $200,000 to take the families to the memorial services this year. That's airfare and the hotels while they're there. We only take immediate family members, but we've got so many families from the deaths of the last 2 years. It's going to be $200,000 is what we need, and so that's the most we've ever spent. That's almost twice the highest we've had before. And so we greatly need their support. And of course, anybody who contributes over $120, they'll become a member of the organization. $200 makes you a family membership. So everyone in the household would get cards and stickers and be members.
I want to challenge you to go ahead and contribute to this. I also want to challenge you to find out more about this absolutely wonderful organization supporting heroes. Eric, God bless you. We have to go to a break. I want to say thank you so much for saying, here I am, send me. And everything that you and the men and women of Supporting Heroes do, I see it, I've witnessed it firsthand, and it's amazing. God bless you, my friend.
Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your support for first responders and certainly for our organization. So thank you.
Once again, Supporting Heroes, we're talking about Operation Enduring Honor. What a wonderful thing this is. What a wonderful organization. As we go to break, stick around. More on the way.
We're supposed to hear from Courtney here.
Oh.
She's going to give us an update.
Oh, okay.
A victim of Hurricane Ida dealing with a lot up in New York City. She hasn't been on the show since that all went down, so we'll see what's happening with our pal Courtney.
Stick around. Dave Jennings, Dwight Whitten. This is News Radio 840 WHAS.
Speaking of friends, Cook and Reeves, they can be a lifesaver and a money saver in so many ways. They offer stretcher and wheelchair transportation. This doesn't have to be doctor's appointments, dialysis, whatever that happens to be. If mom or dad just want to get out of the house or get out of the home and do some shopping, walk around the mall, whatever that happens to be, they don't have to rely on you trying to find time to get out of work to help them. Cook and Reeves can do that for you. Go to cookandreevesvans.com, click on wheelchair and stretcher transportation. That's right, stretcher transportation also. So if someone needs to get to the hospital on a stretcher, this is so much less expensive than an ambulance ride. The number is 836-7679. Another thing Cook and Reeves does, they rent luxury vans. You can go there, Dixie Highway, just inside the Waterson Expressway, and they have the vans that for nine people to get where you want to go without masks, however you want to do it, for a little more than the cost of one rental car, you can take two families and have complete freedom on your vacation. Last spring break, I think four dozen families took advantage of these vans, so they go quickly. CookandReevesVans.com. The number for the vans, 447-8255. Coming right back with Courtney on News Radio 840 WHAS.
Everyone needs a hand to hold on. 2 feet high and rise.
How high is the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. How high is the water, Courtney? Let's go to Courtney Donahoe. Courtney, how are you?
Oh, my God. What a living nightmare.
Listen.
What a living nightmare.
I saw the pictures of your basement. Here's one observation I made. The picture of your bathroom after the flood with all the mud, I'm hoping it was mud, mud and disgust everywhere.
That is, who knows?
That is identical to the way my bathroom looks every day.
Oh, my God.
He's not kidding.
I'm not kidding. Talk.
That's scary and all of that. Oh, my God. It's been a living nightmare. I mean, this is, you hear my generator in the back. It's been absolutely positively the most insane thing I've ever been through in my life. Because, I mean, the water was rising in my home. I'm sitting here watching things gush at me, smelling everything, hearing the sounds. I'm like, I'm going to die in all of this. I was 1,000% convinced.
Wow.
It was my time. But I'm alive. I'm still here, which is great. But it is, it was just basically a mad rush to get everything out of my home as quickly as possible. But I lost my home. I lost my basement, which was an apartment, and I lost my car and my garage.
Oh my
so
God.
Everything
wow.
in the garage. I mean, this was a brutal, brutal storm. I mean, and that was the scary thing because I was upstairs and we got a tornado warning. So I ran to the basement and then all of a sudden I see the water rushing at me. And then I'm like, oh my God, I gotta leave.
Oh man.
I gotta leave. And then I tried to battle back some of the water and I'm like, I'm probably going to die. And, that's when I ran upstairs and I said, you know, hands to God, get me through the night. And,
yeah.
And then I called three people. I called my parents, my ex-husband, and my contractor. And I told them, my contractor, come to my house the next day. Make it through alive. And he was there. And so that's why I think I'm a little further on than many other people. There's still people who are cleaning out their homes. And I am, I mean, I'm down to the studs in my basement. We're just trying to get utilities back. I have no, I got water yesterday. I have no power, but I have a new shiny brand new electrical panel in. And, yeah, it's just been absolutely, absolutely scary. Like all of that. Mm. It's just been a absolutely brutal time.
People, I mean,
the worst in my life.
Yeah, people in Louisville just didn't about face. They heard you say, "I called my contractor, and he was there the next day." People are like, "Wait, that doesn't happen." So, Courtney, I mean, was there any warning at all? Were you just watching TV besides the tornado warning?
It was supposed to rain. We were supposed to get flood water, but not to the extent because I mean, it's flooded here before. The man who lived across the street from me, he said, in his 30 years here, he's never seen anything like this.
Talk with Courtney.
So.
I mean, how fast did it happen? I mean, you thought it was just a normal night, and then...
That filled up. That basement filled up in less than 10 minutes.
Wow!
Wow.
Wow.
Less than 10 minutes.
Well, let's
talk... about 1,000 square feet in 10 minutes.
Let's talk about this. Talk about Courtney Donahoe. Of course, she got flooded out during the Ida up in New York. But let's talk about that for a second, because I know I was keeping in contact with you, and you didn't sleep from like Wednesday till that Saturday. She worked tirelessly. Listen, I mean tirelessly, nonstop, pulling everything out of her home. Didn't get a wink of sleep, but yet you kept a upbeat attitude. How do you do that?
Oh, my God. I mean, because
drugs?
You have to, because I have, exactly, I need that at this point.
Boxed wine.
Like, you know, but I have to say it's like the support of the community there in Louisville, because a lot of people follow me on Facebook and they've seen, and just the kind words and the kind thoughts that people have given me, you know, that's uplifting. And it's stuff like that that helps me stay positive for my kids through the day, because that's all you have to hang your hat on. Because, I mean, it's brutal. I'm looking at, I can't even estimate what I have to, the amount of work I have to get done and the cost of it all.
Well, at one point you got thrown off Facebook, put in Facebook jail. So you're back, but I made a post for you, and I want to echo your sentiments to the
listeners. Why were you in Facebook jail?
I want to echo the sentiments of the listeners, what you just said, because it was an outpouring of love for you. And there was also saying, can we start a GoFundMe page? If that's something you want, that you would entertain accepting, I think me and our listeners would really, really love to help contribute.
Well, it's something we could talk about later.
Okay.
But it's the love and the support is the thing that I need right now, and I think that's the most important thing. And people letting me know, like I love that, and that's helpful. So that'll get me through until I figure out my next steps and how to move forward. You know, I mean, it shows you how bad when Congress showed up at my house yesterday. So when members of Congress came to my house, so it kind of shows you how bad, you know, to help.
Yeah.
Actually, to help, they move things, and they were helpful.
A couple of things. How are your kids? How'd they do through all of this? And what comment?
Good.
And what comment going through this get you in Facebook jail, for Pete's sake?
Oh, well, I said I was going to please kidnap a Con Ed worker and bring him into my house, because they didn't have that. And they literally thought I was kidnapping a worker.
But
this kind of tells you the insanity that's going on right now. So, you know, it's like, well, I'm getting back step by step, and, you know, we'll see. I'm kind of in the thick of it right now. So people are asking, it's like, oh, you local people, what can I do? And I'm like, I can't even tell you, because I'm just going minute by minute at this point. So, you know, just trying to keep my head up, and that's all we can do.
And how are the kids?
Good, good. They started the first day of school today. So, yeah, we had the obligatory pictures and all that kind of stuff. And, yeah, they went off to school, and I have to pick them up in a little bit. So that's going to be when they get back, it's going to be the game changer. So, but they were at my parents', so they were having the time of their lives at Target with Nana and Poppy getting them things. So.
What?
Yeah, so it was, very, very, you know, people have been so good, and my neighbors have been so helpful, and actually, I have a contractor here right now. Everybody has been so helpful and so kind with everything, so he actually just pulled up a second ago, so, but yeah, they're trying to get me out and trying to get me back on my feet.
Well, it's very impressive, the work that you put in on that home and all that you accomplished. I can't believe you did it without sleep, but I know firsthand you did do it all without sleep. I want to say 4 days, but hey, Just keep your chin up, but somehow you do. And I feel horrible about the kids because literally you all lost everything, and that includes precious items that you can't get back with insurance. Talk about family things. And our heart was broken for you. It absolutely was because we love you, Courtney.
Thank you, and I love you guys too. So, you know, just keep us in, keep me in your hearts and your prayers and your thoughts, and that's kind of what we need to move forward.
No, we absolutely do. And normally I don't do this. Mm-hmm. But just to kind of cheer you up, I'm going to send you a Dwight Whitten picture that I send Dave.
Don't.
I just thought that you might.
My wife screamed when she saw it.
It might distract her.
Dude, I'm traumatized already.
Hey, Courtney Donahoe, I'm on vacation next week, but I'll be talking to you off air.
Definitely.
And we welcome you back whenever you can make it back to join the show because we love you on the show. You know that, right?
No, definitely. I love you guys. And hang in there, you guys. I'll talk to you later.
See you, right. Courtney Donahoe. What I'm talking about, man,